Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, with Ed Vitagliano. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano, and now Steve Paisley-Jordahl joins us. Good morning, Brother Steve.
Good morning, Brother Tim.
You have a good weekend?
I did. So I mowed my lawn. I have a zero-turn mower that we got.
We have one of those, too.
It's really...
I've never ridden it, but...
It's a very cool little gadget. It's kind of fun to do. But in the middle of my lawn, I got this place on my lawn that's really kind of thick grass. And
yeah.
I went over it, and you know how you cut like a half swath if it's thick? It was still too thick for the mower, and it stopped the mower rotors from turning. So I drove it off of that, and now I can't get the rotors, the blades to start turning again. So I'm going to have to be...
That's where we left it on Saturday afternoon?
No, I put it back in the garage where it goes. I parked
check it underneath to see if there was too much grass.
Clogged up?
It probably is, but it's way too heavy for me to lift to figure that out.
Well, can't you lift the blade and look under there? I mean, you may not be able to get back up.
Well, that's your age.
You can sometimes lift that
deck. It doesn't come up more than this, and I did.
All right, when you get home this afternoon.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not an expert on this, but I have cleaned underneath there. You can get it so clogged up.
Yeah.
That
I got a guy. I've been told.
Okay.
Can help, but I'll look.
I would do that first and see if you can't.
Yeah.
If it's thick and clogged under there, you just scrape it off.
And sometimes, if you hit too much grass, it'll pull the belt off.
Oh.
Underneath there.
Yeah, you get your belt pulled off.
Oh. It can be a real trial.
It'll affect your attitude.
The belt will come off, and then it can't.
Allison, my wife, Allison, I was always loved to do the yard mowing.
Yeah.
At our house.
Well, if she gets to ride the zero turn, you probably should try it.
And she's got herself a zero turn you're talking about here, and just can just fly around that yard.
Feels like you're driving a tank, except you're exposed. It's got that same kind of, motion.
Oh, yeah.
Where you one side or the other.
Anyway, check that. Check underneath.
I will. I thought about that. I was going to try, but again, it's.
Now, was this one of those things, Steve, where you looked at it and you said, I probably shouldn't try to do that?
You mean the thick grass?
Yeah, but I'm going to do it anyway.
No.
Was there a moment of decision?
No, because I had mowed it before.
Uh-huh.
But when I get to that spot,
yeah.
Instead of taking a full swath out, I just kind of move over and take half a swath.
Or yeah.
Just kind of should have taken a quarter.
Or just raise the mower deck an inch and then cut it again.
Another good idea.
The choice between half a swath and a full swath is kind of like life.
It is?
Really. It really is.
It's kind of like some people say, is the glass half full or half empty?
Yes.
Do I cut half a swath?
Or go for the whole swath.
Right.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues. What's your first story, Steve?
All right. You mentioned this while we're between hours here.
Uh-huh.
Let's talk about a very strange story out of Alabama, close to Birmingham, a town named
Hoover,
Alabama. And there was a woman who was driving home. And she called. She was talking to her sister, I believe, and she...
Excuse me for interrupting you there.
Ahead.
And a lot of people read about this. This was either last Wednesday or Thursday night, and the story broke.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. There was this young lady in her mid-20s, 25 years old, a nursing student, and she's in Hoover, Alabama. She's on the interstate driving... And then this is how the story goes. She says, she saw a toddler at night on the side of the interstate, pulled over, and then she's talking to one of her family members
mm-hmm.
on the phone, and then she's not hurt anymore. There's screams or whatever, and then she disappears.
For 2 days. And then she shows up on her parents' doorstep 2 days later after they were frantic. They were calling the media trying to get anybody to help them find. And then the police did get involved. But then she shows up on their doorstep. Someone had dropped her off, but she was in shock. So we don't know the rest of the story. She may or may not be able to remember or tell at some point if the story is legitimate as it stands. So there's a lot of unanswered questions, but it certainly is an
Well, obviously, the police are involved in investigating it. Mm-hmm. And there's just a lot of questions here that that she will have to answer, I guess, because you don't want to doubt a person's story, but at the same time, when something is really odd, it does bear further questioning, I guess you could say.
Right, because one of the theories that's been kind of put out there is that, that if there was a toddler out there, that toddler's used as bait. That doesn't make sense to me.
You know, side of an interstate?
To traffic, so you can get victims to traffic.
Right.
All right. Well, that doesn't make sense to me, because what if I'm the one who pulls over? You don't know who's going to pull over.
Right, right.
So no one's going to traffic me. All right. So now, if you're going to use that as a way to rob people, that makes more sense. But that's a pretty tough way to find victims,
right,
because other people are going by on the interstate and you're going to hold somebody up. They got their hands up. You got a gun. Okay, so that doesn't seem to make sense to me either.
Well, and also, you're again, we're just asking questions like that people want to know the answers,
right,
to related to this story. And this young lady may be able to clear it all up once she's able to talk to the public, if she's going to talk to the public. I understand she's talking to law enforcement.
Right.
But if you've ever driven down the interstate, we've all driven down the interstate at night. You're going 60, 70, 75 miles an hour at night, and you see a toddler on
I'm
the side
stopping.
Of the... Huh?
I'm stopping.
Yeah, but you're
no,
not...
I'm saying you...
You can't
stop
can't
on a dime.
You can't jam on your brakes.
Right.
You're going to fly by.
Right. Call 911.
Call 911. But that isn't apparently the way the story goes. She's on the phone. I see a child. I'm going to stop. You see what I'm saying? To your point, you're not going to see that there's a child until you're whizzing past.
Right.
And apparently, right, on the phone, she doesn't say, I'm going to turn around and go back. So anyway, there are all kinds
the video
of
right now. They have a surveillance video of this car pulling over, and you're right, the car slows down and drives quite a distance on the shoulder before stopping. You can see the lady getting out and walking around the car, although it's a distant street traffic cam, so it's not very clear. And there, you don't really see the child at all, but you see her walking around, and then you just don't see her anymore. At least this is what I'm perceiving.
Yeah, this is going to be one of those things that's just going to have to, we're going to have to wait this out, because it kind of captured the attention of the nation. This was a pretty big story,
right,
over the weekend when she turned, right, back up.
And then how do you just show back up at your parents' house? You know what I'm saying?
If she was kidnapped.
Unless she escaped.
If she was kidnapped. Now, her boyfriend says that's what happened. She was kidnapped, and he says she was literally fighting for her life for 48 hours. So until she's physically and mentally stable again, she's not able to give any updates or whereabouts on her kidnapper at this moment. Her boyfriend wrote that on Facebook on Sunday. That was yesterday. So the police questioning her, and she's so distraught that she can't give the whereabouts. I don't know. The whole thing is strange.
Also, I read where there were no other 911 calls.
The police did stop. I'm watching again. I'm at the point in this video where the police are stopping, but they would stop for a car on the side of the road who had emergency blinkers on.
Yeah.
So that's
again. You're right, Ed. We're just gonna have to wait and see and find out what the whole story is. But it just the circumstances surrounding this begs a lot of questions.
Yeah.
I guess you could say that. I'm sure that the police and the young lady will provide soon enough. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. But the first thing everybody thought was this child was put on the side of the road to attract somebody to stop, who then they could be robbed or carjacked or kidnapped, you wouldn't think. But because like you're saying, who knows who's going to stop? There may be five people stop. Maybe nobody stops to call the cops. And also, how small is the toddler? A toddler roaming around on the side of the interstate?
I know.
I've never heard or seen that before. I've heard toddlers in the streets.
Right.
In a neighborhood, but to roam so far as away from your home to get out in the near the interstate, yeah. Really odd story. All right, Steve, next story.
All right. Several states in the United States and the whole country of Canada have passed laws which allow doctors to assist people to kill themselves, assisted suicide laws. And the conservatives and people that were concerned about this warned at the beginning that this was going to be a slippery slope. Well, now we find that Canada will soon allow people with mental illness to choose medically assisted suicide. Mental illness. That doesn't... everybody who's depressed, you could call that a mental illness. It's a mental condition, right, in most cases. So there's a lot of concern going on. This is the most expansive use of the assisted suicide law of all the countries that allow it. Canada allows from 2021, the most recent year available, 3% of Canadians who died through assisted suicide. 3%.
3%. Boy, that's high.
I know.
Well, listen, the argument in favor of physician-assisted suicide by the proponents of it, the argument in favor was always, and I think some of the laws, like in Oregon and maybe a few other states in this country that allow it, was always, we will make sure that a person is mentally stable before allowing them to do this procedure.
Right.
Okay. So now,
Of sound mind.
So now Canada is apparently saying, well, that's okay. If they're not of sound mind, we'll let them do it.
That's very dangerous approach to this problem. I never will forget, Ramit. You remember when Dr. Kevorkian was all the news?
Yeah, Jack Kevorkian. Yeah.
Was that 30 years ago or so? People remember back that name, Dr. Jack Kevorkian?
Yeah, that was probably before the year 2000.
He was
a Michigan
doctor who helped people who end their lives, right?
Yeah.
And
he would do it even in states where it was illegal.
California, I think he went to California.
He died in 2011.
Kevorkian did?
Yes.
Anyway, I never will for there was a reading the story about a woman who was told she had terminal cancer. And she got in touch with Kevorkian. She lived in California, and she was gonna end her life through him. And then she went back to the doctor for some reason, only to learn that the cancer was no longer there.
Wow.
It either wasn't there or it wasn't terminal. It was
maybe in remission or something.
Anyway, she wasn't doomed.
Yeah,
because of the cancer. But had she gone and had the you might say, well, that's an unusual circumstance. Well, ending human life, ending your own life, people shouldn't. We shouldn't encourage that or allow that physician-assisted suicide. But there are just too many stories.
And so many reasons. There's theological reasons, Ed, which I'm sure you could cover, that we decide we're our own God, and we can decide our it's an anti-life culture. If we're going to take the lives of babies, what's wrong with taking the lives of adults? But there are some social issues with it as well, which is just it's legitimizing suicide, basically. And if anybody that doesn't want to either go through the process of doing it legally or too young or doesn't qualify, but they want to, it kind of gives them a tacit permission to go ahead.
Listen, I don't want to open up this can of worms. I understand the impulse that if you actually have a terminal disease, the reason why these laws have passed in some U.S. states is this is what they talk about. if you have a terminal disease, you can't care for yourself. It is not going to get any better. You're a drain on your family's finances. That's the argument that's always put forth.
Or they don't want to physically suffer.
You're going to find probably a majority of Americans who are going to go, yeah, I think under those circumstances, you should allow it. But I think that's probably a very small sliver of the cases. And now you're looking at something that Canada's doing where I'm thinking, look, just get some mental health mental health professionals to help you work through your mental health problems. You probably will come through on the other side. But now if you give them an open door to say you can stop the fight,
yeah,
you don't even have to fight for your mental health anymore. I think they're going to be people under high stress who are going to take, I'm using this term loosely, take advantage of the broadening of this law's application, and I think that's going to result in a lot of people that are going to be taking their own lives when they could have fought through and come out victorious.
And I think it's important to say at this point, with regard to those that you were mentioning that say that it's going to be too painful or whatever, palliative care, that's a term that you should know if you don't, which is the care of someone, making them comfortable while they pass away, basically.
Right.
You go into a hospice situation,
yeah,
and the staff has all the medications you might need so that you don't have to suffer.
Right.
Now, dignity, you view dignity maybe different than I do, or someone could. It's not dignified to take your own life, as some people say. It's not dignified to stay in a bed and waste away, but God says until death. Yeah.
But what you're talking about in Canada now, the story that we started out with in Canada, and we hope to God this doesn't come to the U.S., is that they're going to allow for physician-assisted suicide because you're depressed.
Right.
You probably have to be diagnosed clinically depressed or something like that. But anyway, it's a bad, bad track to be on there.
And by the way, I don't want to give the impression that I'm in favor of these laws for any reason. I'm just explaining this is how it's sold to the voting public.
Yeah.
And now they come back behind that and go, oh, yeah, by the way, now that it's legal, we're going to expand the reasons that you can avail yourself of it.
You're listening to Today's Issues. That's the name of this show on the American Family Radio Network. We do podcast this show, so if you want to go and listen or you missed the show, go to AFR.net, click on podcast, and you'll see Today's Issues there each weekday, Monday through Friday, which is the definition of each weekday. Just in case you're wondering, Tim, Ed, and Steve Jordahl Hill. Next story, Steve.
We've already heard that today, I guess you guys have already played Donald Trump when he was talking about his ability to end the Ukraine war in a day. You never know what you're going to get from this president. And for, 7 years or more, he has been assigning nicknames to his enemies. One of the names that he assigned, of course, was to Hillary Clinton. He called her Crooked Hillary for many, many years.
Right.
Well, she's no longer a challenge to him, so he has decided he's not going to name her Crooked Hillary anymore. But an interesting name that he replaced it with, let's listen to Cut 11.
So I took the name Crooked away from Hillary, and we gave her a new name, Beautiful. I call Beautiful, and she's so beautiful. But I took it away because I don't believe in the same name for two people. I don't like that. And I've never done this before. You know, I have it, and you have to live with that name for the rest of your life. I'll go over the different names, but I won't, because many of them are now friends of mine, okay?
All right, so I didn't understand that. So did he give her the new nickname, Beautiful Hillary, and then take it back again?
No. No, he said he gave her the name Crooked, and he put that one back, and now we'll call her Beautiful.
Okay. It didn't sound like many of the in the crowd were buying that.
They didn't get it.
As an accurate description.
They didn't. It,
Hillary, bless her heart. Let me just say, bless her heart. Beautiful? I don't want.
Wait, it's inside.
Okay.
It's her heart. Ed, come on, man. It's her personality.
Yeah. It's like calling her sweet. Sweet.
Well, I don't know. That was weird. That was a turning point Saturday night. Former President Trump spoke. I know if he doesn't cut it as if he doesn't make it as the next president, stand up comedy might be, huh? The guy is he's a showman. He's a communicator. He
maybe Barnum and Bailey could use a new ringmaster.
Huh? Listen, I don't know what he calls people names. That's his thing. And he wanted the crowd to know that he's changed Hillary's name. He no longer refers to her as Crooked Hillary. He refers to her as Beautiful.
Now, he does call Hillary. The Bidens corrupt. Is that what he called?
I believe so.
Corrupt, yeah. Bidens.
Well, Sleepy Joe and
yeah. Who knows? He's got nicknames for folks. And but that was kind of strange too. I don't know what's Hillary Clinton was the one who started spied on his campaign, started the whole spying on his campaign and everything. I mean, she was the reason for the Mueller investigation.
Yes. And the Russia collusion story.
Yeah, that whole thing. So I don't know how
she was the one who was colluding, really.
Paid for it.
Yeah.
And now he's saying she's no longer crooked. She's beautiful. I'm sure he was probably joking or something in jest there, but I just don't know where he was trying to. I don't think the crowd knew either. How to react exactly. Next story, Steve.
All right. We've been trying to warn you and promise you about the dangers and promises of AI, of artificial intelligence. I've been doing a whole bunch of stories over at AFN, American Family News, about this. But I found somebody. Her name is Reina Del Cid. She's a singer-songwriter. And she has a take on AI that I think would kind of encompass some of the worries. See if you recognize this tune, Cut 10.
Still remember how we laughed when they taught the robots how to chat, and we all put out our welcome mats for the day. The robots rise, and now we're singing, why did we invent AI? It was amazing, now it's staging a rebellion worldwide. Got the nuclear codes, it's gonna burn out the sky. Singing, this'll be the way that we die. This'll be the age of AI.
With apologies to Don McLean.
That's very clever on her part to put those lyrics in there that. But she says, what did she say about this'll be the what?
This'll way be the way die. That we die.
I remember, you remember Weird Al Yankovic?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He has a great version using, again, that tune, American Pie, about Star Wars.
It's oh, yeah.
Pretty clever.
He also had a take on Michael Jackson's Bad song.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
That's why I'm fat. Yeah. I'm fat. I don't think you could do that today.
That'd be fat shaming.
That would be fat shaming.
We'll have to talk about AI in a more serious way at some point, but that was very clever.
Listen, my thanks to Crooked Steve and and Beautiful Ed.
Hey, first time in my life I've been called that.
Not for me, though.
And Fast Freddy, who joined me last hour.
Fast Freddy.
And Brent Creeley, our producer, who's bad.
He's bad.
He's bad.
He's a bad producer.
We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Have a great afternoon.